Today's episode is sponsored by Nerdio. Nerdio empowers managed service providers to deploy, manage, and optimize virtual desktops in Microsoft Azure. Automatically deploy a complete virtual desktop environment in just a few hours. Easily manage all of your clients' infrastructures in one centralized portal and save up to 75% on Azure costs with Nerdio's auto-scaling technology. Schedule a demo or learn more at getnerdio.com. Your first 10 internal users are free. Get started today.
You are entering the MSP Zone, a podcast for the managed services community, covering news, analysis, and interviews from around the globe. Elevate your MSP game by staying in the MSP Zone. And now, your host, Charles Weaver.
Outrage meter is set to medium, folks. A solid medium, because this is an I told you so kind of moment. Not in a bad way necessarily, just reinforcing what I think many of us in the industry have known for a long time, and an attempt, a moment to learn and educate some of our younger members, our newer members, into the fold to kind of bring them up to speed as to what is expected of them. Because that is certainly right of any profession to have an expectation of what is expected of people who are new to the profession. That's not being snobby. That's not being preachy. It's not being exclusionary. It's simply saying, this is how we do things. We can have a process for changing things and modifying behavior, but there are expectations that we have of new entrants, new practitioners into the profession, and this is what they are. That's how professions stay alive. And I want to be very, very clear that there's a distinction between having standards and and having rules for entry and participation that are different than, let's say, exclusionary, union style rules that prohibit, for other reasons, right? Based on membership in a club or something like that, which I'm not talking about here. But the title for today's episode is Why Standards Matter in Managed Services. And this came out as an article that just came out a couple days ago in a online publication called Lexology. And the title of the article is The UK Government Consults on Tighter Cyber Regulation for Managed Service Providers. And I thought, wow, this is interesting. It's kind of in keeping with what we're seeing, happening all over the United States at a federal level and certainly at the state level. So why should I make a big deal of it? Well, I've been talking for a long time, and I'm not the only one, but we in the profession have been talking for a long time about why standards for managed service providers are important to have. And we have never been, for the record, we have never been advocates of licensure in the MSP community. I don't believe it. The MSP Alliance doesn't support it, advocate for it. We think that the market, to maintain its dynamic nature, which is one of many elements that make it such a vibrant market and so appealing and so valuable, is an absence of licensure. There are other ways, better ways, to enforce standards and best practices amongst the MSPs. I've been an avowed proponent of that. Standards matter, but you don't license. You don't need the license. There are better ways to do it. So here you have the UK government, who is now they've launched. They call it consultation. So they're seeking input from the community to talk about what they should do related to cybersecurity. A very legitimate, governmental oversight position, right? They have every right to do this. And they want to, as the article says, to improve the UK's cyber resilience. Part of the UK's new £2.6 billion national cyber strategy, which was launched late last year. Proposed changes will affect, in particular, managed IT service providers such as those offering remote security operations, automatic patching, and digital accounts and billing, which will be brought within the reach of the Network and Information Systems, NIS, regulations for the first time. So the whole country, the United Kingdom, the whole country is now looking to regulate managed service providers. So if you read down into the article, right, they talk about the information systems regulation of 2018 and a law that has been out there, obviously. And now there apparently was not an MSP specific law, but just general cybersecurity and infrastructure. Really, I think I'm not an expert in that piece of legislation, but I believe from my reading of it, it's really largely similar to what we have done here for Department of Defense and U.S. national or federal infrastructure protection. The United Kingdom is doing apparently the same thing, and they're now wanting to bring into that fold MSPs specifically. The fact that they're taking a rather cautious, measured approach by having this consultation, I think, is a good thing. But here's the issue, and here's where my outreach meter gets to a solid medium, because I've been saying this for a while, and I it's important that we all understand why this matters. The subtitle is, why is the legislative change proposed? Over the course of the last year, the UK's National Cybersecurity Centre has faced an unprecedented increase in the volume of cybersecurity incidents to which it has had to respond. There have also been a number of high-profile cyber attacks, both domestically and abroad, and they talk about SolarWinds and they talk about the Colonial Pipeline. Both, you know, U.S., Colonial Pipeline was U.S., SolarWinds definitely had international elements because, you know, there are a lot of international companies who use SolarWinds. And such attacks demonstrate how critical services and infrastructure can be impacted and highlight the increasing sophistication of threats to the UK's cyber resilience. Well, I certainly agree with all of that. But what the heck does that have to do with managed service providers? To my knowledge, there was no implication of an MSP in the Colonial Pipeline attack, meaning that an MSP wasn't at fault for Colonial Pipeline's breach, and nor was there an MSP at fault similarly with the SolarWinds. So again, what is the correlation here? See, I'm asking that question. The author of this article is bringing another thing up, which is saying, well, we're just going to assume that the MSPs are in some way associated over here with all these risky people. And maybe that's not true, but they're associating non-MSP cyber attacks and bringing in MSPs and saying in the same breath, in the same sentence, we have to regulate. So proposal one, there's two proposals, two proposal periods, or I should say pillar, they call them pillars, two pillars that they want to seek in this consultation period. Proposal one is to expand the scope of digital service providers within the scope of the NIS regulations to include, quote, managed service providers. The proposals also establish a new risk-based and proportionate supervisory framework for all digital service providers in scope of the NIS regulations. So it goes further that it goes further to talk about what I think is what's going on here is this is at a national level. This is not really aimed at yet, aimed at downstream private organizations. This really does seem to be aimed at MSPs who have access to critical information or critical infrastructure related to the United Kingdom. Who knows if this could actually go forward, if that could become more broader than that, go to actual UK private industries. Don't know. Read down further in the article. Characteristics of managed services. Service providers will qualify as, quote, managed service providers under the revised scope of regulations if the services they provide, one, are supplied to external clients by the supplier, involve regular and ongoing service management of data, IT infrastructure, IT networks, and or IT systems. That's clearly defining an MSP. Are categorized as B2B rather than B2C services. And lastly, the provision of the services relies on network and information systems. Well, pretty undeniably talking about managed services there. And it goes on, and I don't have time to read all of that. But I would like you to. I think it's a good thing for you guys to read about. But for the United Kingdom legislators, policymakers, anybody else out there who's thinking about doing this thing, let me give you a little bit of history and let me give you a little bit of insight that might be helpful as you're drafting these new pieces of legislation. After all, we do have some amount of experience here. We have some amount of knowledge and awareness of what the MSPs have been up to for at least two decades. Do the MSPs have standards? You might be thinking, well, you know, we really need to act. We need to pass this law because we need to make sure that the MSPs know what is expected of them. The inference being that the MSPs don't really have any guidance right now. If you don't believe that, fine. But if you do believe that, or you don't know what you believe, but you're going to act anyway and write this MSP legislation, let me fill you in. The MSPs do have a standard. They've had one for a very long time. The MSPs have a code of ethics, a code of behavior that has been in existence for more than 15 years. The MSPs have created a charter for a customer bill of rights, what the customers of managed services are entitled to from their MSP. That has been in existence for over 15 years. The MSPs, furthermore, have had not only a standard, a business, legal, risk, technical, operational standard, wholly built for them, by them, exclusively for service providers, not retrofitted from some other standard that existed. No. Wholly constructed from the ground up with one purpose only, to be a standard and a benchmark for managed service providers anywhere in the world. How long has that standard been in existence? Since 2004. So we are 18 years now. We're approaching two decades that standard has been in existence globally. We do have a very well documented set of criteria, not just high level concepts, but actual control level specific requirements and guidance for MSPs designed to be flexible, but also designed to provide unequivocal, undeniable guidance for the MSP so that they understand what is within the margin and what is outside the margin in terms of their operational behavior. Furthermore, in addition to the standard specifically built for them, we also have an audit framework. See, we didn't just stop with the standard. No. We actually have a framework, a whole ecosystem of how to audit and test the adherence of those MSPs to that standard. So you could have a standard out there that has no enforcement mechanism, no way to determine whether people are actually following it or if they're just reading it but not actually doing what it says. We've got both. We've had both in place for over 15 years. We, the MSP Alliance, have adopted the United Kingdom would call them chartered accountants. We in the United States call them certified public accountants. The effect is the same. They are officially sanctioned by the state entities, organizations that have the ability to issue these types of audit reports, and that's what they do. The MSP Verify report, every single MSP Verify report goes out with a signature. It goes out with a signature of a certified public accountant. And that firm reviews, tests, and then renders an opinion based off of that standard that the MSP is being judged by or held to measure. We have this framework already. So it would be really unfortunate for any of you out there who are looking at passing regulations or legislation to think that this doesn't exist, that you are operating in a vacuum or that you are operating in a complete whiteboard scenario that has no prior activity. That would be grossly inefficient and unfortunate. And I'm not saying that you don't have the right to act. Clearly, I think that there's a lot that needs to be done. And I'm going to get to that point here in a moment. This is not a question of should entities like the United Kingdom be able to act. Of course they do. They have every right to act in their self-defense, and they are under attack. We are all under attack. So don't for a second think that that's what I'm suggesting. But there is a very big difference between saying that the customers of managed service providers are not behaving appropriately and attribute that behavior to the MSP itself and say, well, the MSP must be doing something wrong. And I must give the obligatory, you know, not every MSP is perfect. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that no MSP has ever been attacked successfully or breached or suffered a ransomware attack. I'm not saying that at all. Nor am I saying, I'm in fact rejecting this notion that MSPs are somehow highly unsafe. The opposite is true. I would be sleeping safer at night knowing that my information is being safeguarded by an MSP than having my own internal IT department, such as it is, handle that and safeguard that information and all those things that I hold dear as a company. You are much safer with an MSP than without an MSP. But that's only if you do what the MSP says you need to do or you should do. And that's where I think we have a problem. We've got a divergence of monumental proportion that has been building for a long time that needs to be addressed. But I urge you in the public policy legislative community to hear me when I say that, that this is not as simple as just saying you need to act on MSPs. Because I will tell you that is a gross misreading of the last 30 years of the managed IT services profession around the world. If you want to act, this is how I would propose you consider acting. Set standards of behavior. If you think that multi-factor authentication is something that would really help decrease the number of successful cyber attacks, which I agree with you, it would. If you also said that backing up your organization's data, especially if you're in a critical infrastructure line of business, would be one of several steps designed to significantly mitigate your trauma, your corporate trauma of being hit by a ransomware attack and being able to get back up into an operational status, like the Colonial Pipeline scenario, then pass a law that says that. But do not think for a second that the MSPs don't already know that. That would be like passing a law that says every physician is now responsible for the actions of its patient. Think how ludicrous that would be. You as a doctor now are going to be held account for the lifestyle and the health or lack of health of your patients. Well, that's crazy. Of course, Charles, what are you talking about? That would never happen. No, it would never happen. Well, who knows? These days, anything could happen. But no, you would never associate how an unhealthy person is and say that that is somehow the fault of the doctor. Those are two separate issues. And the same is true with managed service providers and their customers. But people don't think of those two things as separate entities. They often think of them as the same entity. Customers often think of their MSPs as indistinguishable from their own internal IT departments. And therein lies the problem. Because while they may act as a completely integrated component of the company, and I'm talking about the smaller, mostly smaller and mid-sized businesses who really don't have any internal IT department resources to speak of, they really rely on their MSPs to do this for them. But that does not mean that the MSP has full control to say, we would like to implement an internal backup system for the company, or we would like to enforce multi-factor authentication across all the users. The end user customer still has the right and the power to veto all of that and say, I don't want to pay for that. Just you take care of it. You deal with that. It's like the unhealthy person going to the doctor and listening to the doctor's, don't do this, don't drink that, don't smoke that, don't do this, exercise more, take these medications. And the patient says, yeah, great. Leaves, lives their life, has a heart attack, gets sick, whatever, and says, well, you know, it's my doctor's fault. No, it's your fault. You didn't do it. You didn't follow that advice. All of this matters, folks. All of this matters. Because what you don't want are entities like the United Kingdom or any other legislative public policy entity acting on managed service providers specifically with intent, thinking that the MSPs somehow are just making this stuff up as you go. Yeah, well, I'm going to call myself an MSP. I'm going to do whatever I want. You know, screw having anyone look at me or look at my practices or my policies and procedures. I just do things. I do things to make my customers happy. Sure, if they don't want MFA, they don't want to back up their data, that's fine. That's, who cares? I'm sure there's probably MSPs out there that think like that. I know there are reactive IT companies out there who behave like this and think like that. But I believe, based off of actual conversation and just spending an inordinate amount of time focused on studying managed service providers, that the vast majority of MSPs don't think like that. They actually do care deeply about their customers. They want their customers to be safe. They want their customers to have functional, secure data and IT systems that work. But it's a two-way street. And so, speaking to the UK government again, I would recommend, if you want to act on managed service providers in your country, fine. Be aware of the standards that I'm talking about. Be aware of those standards that already exist for MSPs. And if you want to come up with your own requirements, that's fine. You're entitled to do that. But recognize that the MSP does not control what their customers do. They can't. They can suggest and have influence, but they can't control. And so you, as a public policy, as a legislator, must develop common sense legislation that recognizes the actual reality of how MSPs and customers interact, how the customers rely on the MSPs, but also ultimately the responsibility of the decision to do something or not to do something always rests with the customer. If the MSP screws up and does something that they're not supposed to do and that causes harm to a customer, that is behavior that we want to stop unequivocally. And that's what the MSP Verify is there in part to do. But beyond that, if the MSP is doing everything that they should do, but the customer just says, I don't want to pay for this, I don't want to pay for that, I don't want to do this, I don't want to do that, and then you come along and say, well, it's the MSP's fault that all these United Kingdom entities are being successfully breached, you've got another problem. Your problem isn't an MSP problem. Your problem is you don't do things that you should be doing, could be doing, to protect your infrastructure. And I speak with a certain amount of authority and knowledge on that because I know that there are a good number of state, provincial, local, and federal governments who all have gaping holes in their IT systems. And those gaping holes in their IT systems have nothing to do with the MSP associated with them, if there even is one. I can tell you stories about MSPs who say to a state agency, I think you should be doing this to protect yourself from cyber attack, only to have this as a response. We don't have the budget to do that. Fair enough. But don't turn that MSP into your piggy bank or into your cyber insurance policy. That's not what they're there to do. And that's my hope is that that's not what's happening here in the UK. My hope is that the UK is going to act pragmatically, is going to act with the design to protect itself, as well as to not harm the MSP sector in the United Kingdom, because there are a lot of great MSPs in the United Kingdom. And if you make it harder for them to practice, you're not going to be in a good position. Your private sector is going to start getting hit left and right. And that is not a situation you want to be in. It's not a situation any country wants to be in. So those are my thoughts. We do have a standard. If government is going to act, make sure you don't overreach. Understand the long history of managed service providers and their interactions with customers. And don't mistake the lack of enforcement of a practice, of a standard, with the lack of a standard. Two very different things. And in my estimation, it's not the lack of a standard. It's that they're not being applied by customers who just simply don't understand this type of thing. And if you want to pass a law that makes it a requirement for the customers to accept responsibility for protecting the data and the infrastructure that they possess. I think that would be a good step in the right direction. Those are my thoughts. Until next time.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed today's episode, please give us a like. Make sure you are subscribed to the podcast so you will get notified when future episodes are released. We will see you next time in the MSP Zone.